Hello and thank you for tuning in. My name is Shlomi Noach and this is Open Source Database Infrastructure with Vitesse. I'm an engineer at PlanetScale. I'm an author of a bunch of open source projects in the MySQL ecosystem, including Orchestrator, Ghost, Freno, and others, which are relevant to today's discussion. I'm a maintainer for Vitesse. PlanetScale was co-founded by the co-authors of Vitesse, and we build interesting things on top of Vitesse. But we don't own Vitesse. Vitesse is a CNCF graduated project released under the Apache 2 license and has maintainers and contributors from around the community. PlanetScale just happens to be a major contributor to Vitesse. Vitesse is a database clustering system for horizontal scaling of MySQL. But today we're going to present a different aspect of Vitesse, a database infrastructure aspect. On our agenda are four recent developments. They're either in progress or experimental. They're in the main branch, you can use them, but they're not officially stable at this time. And to understand these, we're going to need to understand the general architecture of Vitesse so as to realize how Vitesse is able to provide automation of such complex operations. So today we're going to discuss throttling, table lifecycle, online VDL, and high availability and failovers. And to illustrate the Vitesse architecture basics, let's begin with looking at a simple MySQL replication cluster, right? We have one primary, three replicas. The first thing we're going to do is to attach a VT tablet to each of the database servers. So this is a daemon typically co-located on the database server, which can then both communicate with the daemon. It can send queries and receive responses, but also it can control the MySQL D service. So it can stop and start the service, for example, to run a backup and a restore, etc. In production, you will have many clusters and many servers. Again, you will have a one-to-one mapping between a tablet and a server. Now, on top of everything, we're going to put a smart proxy. It's called VDGate. VDGate impersonates as one giant monolithic database. It speaks the MySQL protocol. It parses your queries. It knows how to route them to the backend servers. And to you, it looks like a MySQL server. Now, in reality, we'll have many VDGates to scale out the read and write capacity, but for our purposes, we'll only discuss one. And the big question is, how does VDGate route queries? How does it know where to write a query? You will have different schemas, different tables, different data sets on the various MySQL servers. Some of your clusters could be sharded, some unsharded. How does VDGate know where exactly to route the query? It begins with just the query itself, right? The application will use a specific schema and select something that indicates to VDGate where to get the data from. So if we select order ID and price from orders where customer ID equals 4, the value 4 may indicate to VDGate that in the commerce schema, the value 4 is only located in shard 0. So based on schema, based on information, VDGate could be able to know where to route the queries to. But again, how does it know? How do all VDGates know that? Well, we have a backend database. That's the state of Vitesse itself. We call it Topo, essentially. It's a netcd or zookeeper or console, a distributed KV store, which stores all the meta information about the Vitesse cluster, like what schemas we have, what shards we have, who are the tablets involved, etc. So VDGate reads that information from Topo. It's mostly static information and it's mostly cached within VDGate. The last component I want to introduce is VDControl daemon, which is a daemon which runs ad hoc operations like resharding. It also acts as an API server. And we'll follow up later on to see how it helps us. The first feature I want to present is throttling. pushback for massive writes to protect your database cluster. It's based on Freno, a service I co-authored at GitHub, which is a cooperative throttling service. It's now imported into Vitess and specifically into Vt Tablet. The idea is to protect against replication lag. So the moment your replication lag grows higher, you begin to push back. We want to keep replication lag low because we want our replicas to serve fresh data. We want our failovers to be happy. And we use a mechanism similar to PD Heartbeat, where Vitess injects a timestamp onto the primary MySQL server, and we read the value on the replicas, and we calculate replication lag on sub-second resolution. The fun thing about Vitess and throttling is that Vitess is aware of the topology and of the identity of the servers. Not all servers are created equal. We have, of course, the primary, and we have replicas. But some replicas are serving production traffic, whereas other replicas could be like backup servers or OLAP servers, or be out for maintenance momentarily. The fun thing is that Vitess knows exactly at any given time which server serves data or not. De facto, Vitess controls the streaming of production traffic through to those servers with Vt gate. And so Vitess is able to say, okay, I'm going to consult the reading replicas for replication lag, but not other types. And this is this is overreadable with user command line flag. And so the primary tablet of each shard runs a continuous poll for replication lag on the replicas, on the relevant replicas. And it serves an HTTP endpoint, and the users can call on that endpoint. It returns with 200 OK when everything is good, meaning there is no lag or small lag on the relevant replicas or other HTTP code when there is lag. It also periodically consults with the topology service to see if there's any changes to the topology, like is there a new server, a new replica, or maybe a replica which used to serve traffic is now down for maintenance or change role into something else. And so Vitess is able to say at any given time whether, you know, throttling makes sense right now or not. And the throttling service is basically internal. We don't expect to expose it to the users while it's actually visible, but it's really used for some internal mechanisms. The two that I will describe today are table lifecycle and online DDL, but we have more ideas for the future, like automatically throttling massive updates or massive deletes. What happens if you update the entire row set of a table or try to delete a gazillion rows? The next development is table lifecycle, an automated garbage collector for all tables. And this comes to solve the woes and misfortunes of dropping tables in production. There's two major problems to dropping tables in production. One is that you may have missed something and some part of the application still needs the table, and once you've dropped it, you're in a big problem. The other thing is that actually dropping a table on a busy production system can bring your can lock down your primary database. That's something we've seen many times in production. And so people have come around to similar solutions in different configurations. Like, first of all, how about you don't drop the table, but rename it to something else? Application-wise, the table is gone, but in case you forgot something, you can always rename it back and make application happy. Next is that dropping a full table with a gazillion rows is risky, so how about purging it first until it's completely empty? This can take a few days, and actually in that process, you bring most of that table back into the InnoDB buffer pool memory because you're accessing the data in that table, so you're going to need a few more days to get those pages evacuated from the InnoDB buffer pool. And then once the table is empty and is being evacuated from the buffer pool, you're able to drop it. And there's more variations on this process, like handling things different on the replicas, like black holing it, black holing them or just truncating, because the workload on the primary and on the replicas is really very different. So this is a very difficult process to track, right? You need to know it, which state each table is and what's been done, what's not been done. You need to coordinate and schedule stuff. It's not trivial, and Vitesse wishes to solve that. So Vitesse defines the following states in a table's life cycle. A table can be in use, which is just normal, or it can be held, which means it's kept safe, intact, like no data is impacted, and you still have time to regret and rename it back into the original name. Or it can be in the purge state, where it's actively being purged of rows, and then the evac state, where you just wait out for the pages to evacuate out of the buffer pool. Finally, the drop state, where the table is imminently going to be dropped, and then the table is gone. And the idea is that all this is based on the table name. So there's magical table names. Take a look at the first table name here, VD hold something, 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 and then some number. If you look closely, that number is actually a timestamp. So a table with this name, VD hold something, something, means Vitesse is not going to touch this table until 2021, January 31, 9:30 a.m. And then, when that time passes, the table gets transitioned into the next phase. Or if the table is VD evac something something, that means the table remains in evac mode. We wait out for the pages to evacuate out of the buffer pool until February 7, 2021, 7:15 a.m. So what about the purging state? Well, the purging state is more complex because we're actually doing something here. So for purging tables, what we do is that VD tablet on the primary server is charged with purging the table data, right? And it only schedules a single table at a time, and it repeatedly purges like 50 rows at a time, and it uses the tablet throttler. So we've introduced tablet throttler earlier. This is the first use case. Between each such purge of 50 rows, the table garbage collector consults with the tablet throttler to make sure that it's not pushing the cluster health too hard. And so with this idea of encoding the states within the table names, the process becomes stateless, right? There's no metadata table where we need to track the progress of each table's life cycle. It's enough to take one look at the tables in your schema to know what we need to do next. And Vitesse auto-discovers the relevant tables and will always do the right thing and converge into dropping those tables. Not all users are the same. Some users are perfectly happy with just dropping the tables, which is fine. Others say, well, I just want to hold them for a few days and then drop them. And others, like in my experience, like we have to go the full flow, right? We need to hold and purge and evac and drop and then some. And so that's the default, and it's controlled by a command line flag. Online DDL, big development which incorporates both previous developments discussed. So schema change is made easy. We all know the trouble. You want to auto table in production. It's a big problem. It's either blocking and locking on the primary or on the replicas, and it's exhausting resources, and it's uninterruptible, and it's a no-go. Most people would use big normal schema change or Ghost to run schema changes, which is great. These are external tools, but they create an operational complexity, because you need to install them somewhere, you need to SSH somewhere to run them, you need to tell them where the what the topology is, so there's this discovery issue, what's the primary, what are the replicas, you need to create an account on your MySQL servers, you want to schedule the migrations because you typically don't want to run two or more concurrent migrations. You need to be able to throttle somehow, you need to be able to track the migration, interrupt it if needed, etc. And that takes the ownership outside of the developer's hands,
And so in small companies, developers will be able to just run this in production, but as your company scales, this doesn't, that's not sustainable. So you need specialized people to do that, and that's not so good. And Vitesse is in the unique position to solve really all of these problems because it knows about the topology. It can throttle, it can help you tracking. Discovery is trivial. It can run external tools on your behalf, etc. And so Vitesse reduces the problem to this. All you need to do is set DDL strategy to Ghost or PD on a schema change. That's a new session variable, followed up by your normal RT table. The response is a bit funny. With a standard direct RT table, the statement can take like hours, and then you get a no response. Whereas here, the query returned immediately with this weird UUID. So that's an asynchronous migration, and that's a job tracking ID, which we will use later on. So what goes on here is that the application requests a schema change, but it doesn't talk directly to the database server. It talks to Vitigate. Now, Vitigate is under no obligation to actually pass this alt table statement onto the tablets or the backend MySQL servers. Instead, it says, oh, okay, I was requested to run a Ghost migration. That's the strategy. So I'm going to just store the request in Topo. Now, Vd control daemon periodically checks for those requests, for such requests, and it sees our alt table request, and it knows, okay, that's the e-commerce schema, the product table. It figures out which clusters belong to the commerce schema, which are the shards. It picks the primary tablets for these shards and sends them that request. And all the fun happens in the tablet. It receives the request from Vd control daemon, persists it, schedules the migration because there may already be a migration running. It prepares a script and temporary directories. It creates temporary one-off credentials on the MySQL server, especially for that migration. It then cleans them up afterwards. It runs Ghost and PD on a schema change with the correct command line arguments, letting them know where the topology is. It uses the tablet throttler. With Ghost, it's pretty much built in. With PD on a schema change, we override the replication lab plugin to consult the throttler. It racks the migration. It cleans up afterwards. Like, it will clean up the triggers for PD on a schema change. Whether the migration succeeds or fails, it will, Vd tablet will ensure the triggers are removed. But how about the artifact tables, like the old tables? You can't just drop them, right? So no problem. We just feed them into our garbage collector. We just rename the old tables into those magical table names to be collected by the table lifecycle garbage collector mechanism. And so we got this UUID in response to our alt table statement, which we can use to then track the migrations, like we can show the status for a given migration on these four shards. It's still running on three. It's complete on the fourth one. We can cancel ongoing migrations. We can retry canceled or failed migrations, etc. But online DDL is more than just alt tables. We can also use it for create and drop. Create is pretty trivial. But how about drops? So this is where we integrate our table lifecycle again, the second time in online DDL. When you drop a table in an online DDL strategy, Vitigate will transform your drop statement into a rename. So it will rename it to something hold, which will, you know, put the table into a held state. You still have time to regret, and then eventually it will be picked up and purged and removed. So this puts back ownership into the hands of the developers. It's almost zero dependencies. If you're on Linux AMD64, Ghost comes pre-compiled within Vitesse. You don't really need to do anything to make that happen. You just need to invoke the auto statement. It will retry in case of failover, etc., etc., etc. There's a bunch of goodies for this. Future work is to integrate with ongoing resharding, so think about a migration that keeps running while you reshot the database and while you actually reparent, like promote new replicas as primaries, etc. Last development I want to discuss today is VDWork, the orchestra integration. So I began writing orchestras 7 years ago and throughout Outbrain and Booking.com and GitHub, and now independently. And the idea was that when I joined PlanetScale, I would assist in integrating Vitess and Orchestrator. And thankfully, that did not happen. And Sugu, co-creator of Vitess, took this upon himself and did the integration. And I'm ever so happy, because if I were to do that, I would try to make Vitess work nicely with Orchestrator, whereas Sugu made Orchestrator work nicely with Vitess. And that's all the difference in the world. And there's many aspects to that, but let me just describe one. Like, one of the greatest problems with MySQL replication clusters is that MySQL is not aware of replication clusters. MySQL is only aware of a replica replicating from a primary, but it doesn't have the concept. There's no entity called a replication cluster in MySQL. There's no name to that. But to you and me, this means the world, right? That's our database cluster. So Orchestrator's approach is mostly to observe and then act upon what it perceives to be the expected scenario. Like, if it observes a cluster and the primary fails, then it can click on a failover. But it still doesn't know per se that all these servers are necessarily part of the same cluster. It gives some metadata for naming, etc., but it's still very heuristic. Just as an example, if you have a split brain scenario and one big cluster splits into two clusters, which of these two is the real cluster? Is there a correct answer? So if Orchestrator were the one to run the failover, then heuristically it says, okay, the one which I promoted is now the real cluster. But is that the correct behavior? This is just heuristic. And there's other more complex scenarios where the heuristics are not so clear. But Vitess knows. Vitess knows exactly what it wants, right? Everything is written in SOPO. It keeps a state. It knows which cluster it has, which members in cluster, what's the role of every single server in a cluster. It knows which server it wants as a primary and which as a replica. The old Vitess Orchestrator integration was based on APIs and hooks and scripts, and there was a lot of friction where both were trying to take ownership for the same operation, which led to conflicts. And VT.org is a spin-off of Orchestrator, where the Orchestrator's code is actually embedded within Vitess. It uses the Vitess topo, it uses Vitess functionality like locking clusters and locking operations, etc. And the mission of Vitess is inherently different from that of Orchestrator. Its mission, it's goal-oriented, and its mission is to make the replication clusters to look like Vitess expects them to. So a few examples to scenarios that VDORG handles that Orchestrator doesn't. From left to right, there's a broken replica or a stopped replication. Orchestrator just observes and says, well, there's a broken replica, but VDORG says, well, why is it broken? According to my records, it should be running, right? So let's kick it in. Or there's a detached replica. Orchestrator-wise, it doesn't really know which cluster this detached replica belongs to, but Vitess knows and VDORG knows and can rewire it back into place. If there's a dual primary, a co-primary scenario, it knows which of the two should be the master. But take a look at the right. There could be a fully functional cluster, right? An Orchestrator would perceive it to be completely healthy. There's a primary, there's three replicas, everything seems to be working fine. But maybe Vitess says, well, you know, that first replica on top, that, according to my records, that should be the primary, not the existing primary. So VDORG will actually actively promote that to be the new primary, because its goal is to make the cluster match Vitess's definition. So that's super cool. There's a lot of work in progress going on with future customizable availability and durability rules, etc. So lots of things to look forward for. So with these developments, we turn Vitess not into a sharding framework, but into a database infrastructure framework that brings in all the database complexity and solves it in one single place. And with that, I am able to take questions in chat. Thank you so much for tuning in.